is a very different kettle of fish.
To the Grand Prix de Deauville, where he ran second in a very small field. I think it would be a surprise.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
And it's another one of those mornings where it should be called Racing Around the World, because we are featuring Arc de Racing from France, and we'll get you to the back to the Arc in just a second. A little bit later, we'll be doing recaps of some of the really nice stakes action from yesterday, that Lucas Classic. That was some race. That was a lot of fun, and hopefully you enjoyed it and cashed some tickets yesterday, but we'll recap some of that. And towards the end of the show, we'll have another race from France, the Prix de l'Opera. Another good race with a nice, fun field, but the Arc is coming up. So, again, I'll send you to that and get them loaded in the gate and whatnot, and then we'll watch that, and I'll come back and really kick off the show. But just to give you some thoughts in here, this Arc, I mean, a field of 20 in what is one of the top international races year in and year out. Mishriff, very talented five-year-old, but admittedly Mishriff this year, not what Mishriff has been in the past, with no wins and five starts so far. And Mishriff, the number one horse, because of that, sitting at 29-1. Last year's winner of the Arc, Torquator Tasso, is the number two horse. We're looking at 8-1 for that one. So far this year, one win in four starts. Again, for the defending champ of the Arc. Some other interesting horses. Title Holder, the number 11. We're looking at 7-1 there. Interesting, because this is a nice little runner, 3-for-3 so far, coming in from Japan. And I think we're all aware, if you watch international racing over the last year, the Japanese horses have been very intriguing wherever they've gone around the world. And Title Holder, coming in from Japan, is one of those horses in this race today. Alpinista, I believe, last I looked, was the favorite. Yeah, it's 7-2. Alpinista, five-year-old mare, a daughter of Frankel, comes in so far this year with a 2-for-2 record, having won the Yorkshire Oaks most recently. So she's interesting and is the current 7-2 favorite. Luxembourg, the number 20 horse, trained by Aidan O'Brien, ridden by Ryan Moore. Just on those factors, this one is intriguing. Luxembourg, again, the number 20 horse, sitting at 9-2. Don't forget, in Europe, the saddlecloth number does not correspond with the post position. For instance, Luxembourg's the number 20, but will leave for post position 8. Alpinista's the 14, but leaves from 6. So keep that in mind as you look at your PPs for this and the later races on that card from France. But interesting race in here. I'd probably take a little pop with the Japanese runner. Title Holder at 7-1. Again, comes in with a 3-for-3 record so far this year. And the Japanese runners have been notable where whenever they've traveled around the world over the past, you know, 12 plus months or so. So the number 11, a little bit intriguing to me in here. They're galloping around. They're going to be heading to the starting gate momentarily. So I'll send you back there and you can listen to the commentary from the European broadcast. And we'll come back after the Arc and jump into Racing Across America for a Sunday morning. And as I say, take a look at some of the really fun stakes action from yesterday. Stay tuned. Good luck.
I thought he was quite interesting because he's got a progressive profile. Caught, along with Ernesto, caught way too far back in the Prix de Jockey Club.
Yeah.
But then won, beat Junko, who went very close in the dollar here yesterday afternoon, gave the former a boost of sorts there. So if he does stay, he looks like he's got the profile of one who could have more to offer.
I think it's always been the target for him. He won the Guillaume Dornano, which is a Group 2 at Deauville this summer, and the arc was, that was the plan. That was the plan. Jean-Claude Rougeot doesn't often like running them back with three weeks just absence between races. He likes to give them four or more. And connections have been making favourable comparisons with Al Hakim and Tsotsas, who was that son of Siouni who won the arc. So, talking to Jean-Claude Rougeot, I kind of get an underlying feeling that he certainly likes Al Hakim as much as Verdani, if not more, for this distance.
Interesting. Right. Because watching him, I wasn't that sure, because he's quite a strong traveller in his races. I've seen him take a bit of a grip a couple of times, but certainly that stamina influence on the dam side provides plenty of hope that he'll stay the trip, and if he's been targeted at it long term, clearly he's trying.
Just
going
to hop back in here for a second. As I said, I thought
the
Japanese
for?
Runner was a little bit interesting. The number 11 in here. But our man Mike Callahan came in. He has a little selection too. I'll let Mike toss out his as they get ready to load in the gate. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I was taking a look at this race this morning, and I thought Verdini was quite interesting, a horse that's raced over the course before, and obviously with a lot of rain that's going on right now, the course condition is going to be a big factor. So last time out, did finish third to Luxembourg. Onesto, who you're going to see in this race, Luxembourg's going to take a lot of money. Obviously, the five-year-old mare.
Alpinista.
Is also going to be taking a lot of money. But I thought encouraging effort last time out. Again, over the surface, 7-1 right now. You're going to get Christoph Simeon, who's aboard. Again, 20 horse field, a lot of opinions. It's really going to come down to the trip, but I think this horse can be able to handle the surface, and obviously going the mile and a half is a question mark for a lot of these horses, but I think Vedini's going to be a player in here.
Maybe
so.
Sumion trying to get a little money for the next 2 months.
I know, absolutely. Good luck to everybody, but it's like the Kentucky Derby on turf. So.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mike. All right, we'll send it back to France and the break out of the gate from the arc.
You've got to have the stamina. Andrew, who's your winner?
Well, I'm going to stick with Average. No, very similar thoughts to you. I think Alpinista has got to run her race, but I think one of these three-year-olds may just improve past her. The one I plumped for was Ernesto, so I'm going to stick with him, even though this late rain may not be in his favour.
Over to you, Ian. Who's your favourite?
Well, I have already selected Alpinista and Onesto, depending on where you were listening to what I was saying. So I'll stick with those. But I do think Grand Glory, she's a 55 chance. If you're going to play for the forecasts or the place only, this race is going to be run at a strong gallop. It's softest ground already. That has already been opened up by 2 days racing and all of the rain that we've had this afternoon. So I can see one that's going to plod on through late on with a bit of ability, nicking a place at big odds. Westover's just gone in. Mosterduff is about to walk forward now. Jim Crowley rode the previous race winner. There's only a few more out the back. Mendocino is obviously going to be late into store number one. This is Stay Foolish. There is Luxembourg coming forward, number 20. He's about second favourite now, Ryan Moore, big winner yesterday afternoon. Alan Kerr is on the way up now, number 5. There is Grand Glory going forward with Maxime Guillon to take her position and then title holder. And out the back, we still have Broom. He's got to go forward also. Mario Astralis and Mendocino. And that, I think, is the last trio for this year's Qatar Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe. It's a wide open race. They bet about 3.5, 7-2 the field here. Alpinista is just the market leader. This is Mari Astralis, one from the outside. He's drawn stall number 19. Stay Foolish is the only one wider than him. Broom then is still to go forward. Been a solid campaigner over the years. Stall number 14, Mendocino. René Pichaluk, who won the race 12 months ago, and Torquay de Tasso is now Mendocino. That's it. They're all in. They're set to go. And away, racing in the arc. They get away in a fairly decent line. 2,400 metres is the trip. Stay Foolish was out quickly, but title holder's going to be the leader. And Mushu to have the advantage to running in second position is Broom. Al Hakim, Alpinista and Deep Bond and Westover and Stay Foolish are behind these. Then comes Mendocino, Alan Kerr and Mari Astralis and Seeleway and Mosterduff. Luxembourg against the running rail. Deduce is further back in the field with Onesto, then Bubble Gift. Mishrif is the back marker, and just preceding that is Grand Glory as they begin to settle down. And it's title holder who leads them behind the wood, showing in front to Broom in the check jacket, grey and white in second position. Silver colours of Al Hakim and Deep Bond in the blue and red. Alpinista, grey mare, she holds about fifth position. Westover, a pink jacket in company with us. Some yellow jacket there of Stay Foolish. Races up round the outside of Mendocino. Behind these then is Mario Astralis and Luxembourg. Further back to Alan Kerr and Sealy Way. Torquedo Tasso missed him out first way round. He's about five from the right of your picture. Tramped out wide. Grand Glory is still the back marker. Mishrif is towards the rear also with Dodeuce as they begin their way on towards home. They're very well strung out. He set a really good pace, this title holder. Broom is about a half length behind him in second. Al-Hag Keem is three lengths off these in third. To Alpinista against the running rail. Deep Bond is next. Westover, Mendocino, Stay Foolish behind these from Verdeni and Mario Astralis. Sealaway and Torquedo Tasso and Luxembourg as they enter the full straight. Alan Kerr behind these. Ernesto's trapped away against the running rail. Torquedo Tasso is the, well, they were yellow towards the outside there. He's making good headway though. But this title holder is leading them okay at the moment as they enter the home straight in the arc. Broom is in second place. Alpinista has moved into third. Al-Kahim behind these in fourth. Westover heads the remainder. Behind him, Torquedo Tasso. Then comes Grand Glory towards the outside with Mostadov. Alpinista in second at the moment. The pace setter title holder beginning to struggle. Alpinista, Vaden is coming there very strongly as well. Al-Kahim is with those. That is Broom there also, as Alpinista now and Luke Morris have taken it up. Al-Hakim is in chase. Here's Torquedo Tasso in the yellow jacket. Vaden is still there. They're inside the last 200 metres. Alpinista in front, Verdeni the green colours, Torquedo Tasso the yellow. They're closing on her, but she's gutsy, she's brave, she's done it. Alpinista's won it. To Verdeni, Torquedo Tasso behind these. Al Hakim, Grand Glory was next to Luxembourg, and then came Westover and Alan Coronesto. Broom behind this, then title holder Stay Foolish, Mendocino, Mishrif. Further back to Mari Australia. Oh, they're still coming. Sealyway and Bubble Gift, then Mostadaf, and I think Deep Bond is the final one. Home. So the favourite, number 14, Alpinista, trained in the UK by Mark Prescott and ridden by Luke Morris, has won. Vardeni, number 15, is in second. Last year's winner, Torquedo Tasso, third. Al Hakim, a big run. Then behind these was Grand Glory.
And Fanny is with the winning trainer, Sir Mark Prescott, a legendary trainer, even more legendary now, Fanny.
The Miss Rising, to beat the Carida record, just a fantastic day.
She's so tough. I mean, she answers every question.
Marv, absolutely one.
What do you think now? Because this was the plan, but where do you go from here?
I don't know. She's in the Japan Cup. Miss Rising's got a lot of the family. Whether she trains her another year, I don't know. That'll be up to her.
How would you describe what she's meant for you?
Oh, this most important day.
Well done. I know you're being very popular at the moment, so we'll let our friend Rishi from ITV do his interview, but it was a pleasure to speak to Sir Mark Prescott after winning a race that he had planned and with a mare that he absolutely trained to the nine.
I said to the guy, stick with the interview. After this, the post-race interview should be, little did I know, man, a few words. as an interviewer, I was relating to the woman with the microphone. Those are, so it's probably the biggest race win of your career. How about it? Yeah, that was a nice performance. Thank you. It's a little more than that, sir. But it could be just one of those where you're a little bit overwhelmed with emotion winning a race like that. But that was a nice win for the five-year-old mare, Alpinista. Again, she came into the race 2-for-2 this year, having won the Yorkshire Oaks just prior. Our man Mike Callahan jumped on board as they were kind of circling around behind the gate. He mentioned Vedini. That won a very nice second. Last year's winner, Torquedo Tasso, runs third, and Al Hakim runs fourth. So it was the old 14-15-2-16 superfecta in there. Superfecta finish, top four finish in the ARC. Nice race. Again, we will have the remainder of the card there also this morning, and that'll include another race in our show here at about 10:50. The Prix de l'Opera will go off. We'll talk a little bit about that as we get closer. Don't forget, we opened early here at the Racebook today, so if you'd like to come down, we are open with the ARC being run and the rest of the stakes races from Longchamp. You can catch those as well. And also there's some football because there's a NFL game over in Europe this morning. You can watch that if you come down right now. Also, I think there's may still be some donuts out there. So if you'd like to come down, we are open here at the Clubhouse Racebook this morning, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, let me get back to what we do on Sunday morning, recap some of the stakes action. And yesterday, boy, it was a fun stakes day, really around the horn. Some nice stakes in New York. There's a really good one, that Lucas Classic yesterday. We'll hit on that down at Churchill, and then a little bit later on, we'll also take a look at some of the action from yesterday out at Belmont. Yesterday, we had Joe Kristofek on talking some Churchill. We had Ellis Starr on looking at some of the Santa Anita stakes in preview. So it'll be fun to kind of go back and take a look at those. And let's start out in New York, and we'll kind of work our way backwards from the stake that wound up the afternoon in New York, the Champagne. Always one of the top stakes for two-year-olds on the racing calendar, really, in New York and across the country. Champagne, a grade one event, $500,000 up for grabs. Blazing Sevens, 8-1 on the morning line and went off at 8-1 yesterday. I got sucked into Gulfport again. I just, the first two starts of the career were so good. And then the 2 seconds up at Saratoga were all right. Gulfport's the number six here, though. Winds up third. So I guess the rest of the class maybe is caught up to what we saw from him earlier in the year. But Blazing Sevens tossed in a little bit of a clunker in the hopeful, running third, but third by 12. On a sloppy track, and Chad Brown kind of felt that may have been a factor, the off track. Well, it was off to New York yesterday. He seemed to like that. Chad said, well, maybe it was a Saratoga thing, but had broken the maiden up at Saratoga. So a nice maiden breaker up at Saratoga, then third in the hopeful. And don't forget, also, to step from a maiden, your first start, and then go into a grade one company. And I think Forte is going to turn out to be very nice. So it may also just a little experience under the belt. But yesterday, Blazing Sevens looked pretty good. The chart margin winds up to be a pretty solid 3.25. Gets it done at 8-1. Verifying, who I thought would, like I say, I got sucked into Gulfport again, but I had Verifying underneath for Brad Cox. That was only Verifying's second start. He's a nice second in there, finishing a length and a half in front of Gulfport. A little bit of a disappointment maybe from Andiamo Ferenzi, although I say that on the betting line, he was the fourth choice. And he wound up fourth, but this is a nice little New York bred. And again, maybe it was just a saltier group yesterday. And it's not so much he ran fourth, but he was pretty well beaten fourth there with 13 lengths or so. But Andiamo Ferenzi, the sibling to Ferenzi Fire, who so far in the career had been two wins and a third in three career starts. The third was in an open company stake. One of the wins was the maiden breaker, and one of the other wins was the state bred stake, the funny side, up at Saratoga. So it was a stakes winner. So, again, fourth place finish, so maybe a little bit disappointing. And, again, it's more the distance than anything. But I still think they have a nice little New York bred there, and we'll see what that one does going forward. I mean, when you have a horse like that, they can kind of pick their spots, open company, or look for some of those big New York bred days. And you got to take your – chances. I don't blame him for taking a chance. And like I say, to me, it was a little disappointing. I think he's probably a little bit better than we saw yesterday. But Blazing Sevens certainly looks good. You would have to think he goes on now and tries the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. This was the third win in the Champagne in the last 5 years for Chad Brown. He won this race last year with Jack Christopher, and Blazing Sevens comes out of the race with a 91 buyer. Pretty solid there for Blazing Sevens. So nice result on the two-year-old side of things. We will move now to the race just prior to that, the Belmont Turf Sprint. I liked Arzak in here as I was in doing the show yesterday, but I said, this is a race where I'm not jumping on anybody with a lot of confidence. I think you can point to many in here and have equal levels of confidence, and that included the winner that I didn't use at all in my mix, but was certainly very playable. Dancing Buck, the number 10, goes off at 4-1, so took some action with the second choice. Yeah, it was the second choice in the betting. Number 6, Voodoo Zip, for our friends at West Point Thoroughbreds, runs a good second. And number 5, Yes and Yes, runs third. Arzak, a little surprised, went off as the favorite and wound up fourth. Arzak is going to be the number 2 horse here, but nobody is really challenging the winner. The chart margin here winds up to be 5 lengths. Dancing Buck gets it done for Michelle Nevin. Manny Franco on board. Came out of a close-up second-place finish in the Lucky Coin up at Saratoga in the prior start. Had finished that day behind Thin White Duke. Thin White Duke wound up running fifth yesterday. But you wound up with a nice $10 and change on Dancing Buck. Again, horse that I didn't use in the mix, but was very playable in a race where there were a few in here that were very playable. As I say, you weren't jumping in with a lot of confidence in any direction. I had Arzak, and as I say, I was a little bit surprised the horse went off as the 2-1 favorite. We were looking at 4-1 on the morning line, and it looked like a race where those odds were probably kind of correct. There were some scratches, but the scratch horses were all prices, so I don't think that really affected the price on my choice. But again, it was Dancing Buck getting it done at a decent little $10. And then with Voodoo Zip underneath, you wound up with about an $80 exacta in there, so that was okay as well. All right, also yesterday on the turf side of things, we had the Miss Grillo for the two-year-old fillies. Oh, let me pull up, if I have it here quickly. Now I don't think I have it, but let me see. I'll see if I can grab it quickly, because Dave Grenig tweeted out, and I just want to update you on the turf situation today. Here we go. Today, according to a Dave Grenig tweet about an hour ago, races 2, 3, and 10 are off the turf today, but the two stakes remain on. So for today, Sunday, 2, 3, and 10 off the turf. The two stakes at this point remain on. All right, let's get back to the Miss Grillo. I like number 6 in here, Be Your Best, coming out of a couple of really nice races up at Saratoga. Maiden Breaker in the debut looked really good, and then they moved into stakes company, the P.G. Johnson. So Be Your Best, no surprise, went off as the 6-5 favorite. A little bit disappointing running third in the third career start. Pleasant Passage, a horse I had down at the bottom of my mix, Shug McGahee, a trainee that had won the career debut up at Saratoga, steps out of that debut effort and moves into stakes company and looks pretty good. 3/4 of a length is the margin for Pleasant Passage. Free Look second, Be Your Best third. Free Look is a Chad Brown runner that I had right underneath and seemed like poised to go on by, but Pleasant Passage said, no going by me today. The daughter of More Than Ready gets it done, as I say, for Shug with Irad Ortiz on board at 9-1, which was maybe a little high. I'm looking at the morning. Well, the morning line was 8-1, but it was Shug. Folks focus so much on the buyers, and I had it down the fourth spot. And the buyer was certainly going to have to be improved upon, and it was. Pleasant Passage got it done with a 78 buyer yesterday, coming out of the debut victory of the 65. So move forward nicely. That said, the two buyers fired by Be Your Best in the first couple of starts would have been kind of right up there with that performance yesterday, but winds up about 3 lengths behind, which I guess maybe falls in line with what Be Your Best can do on the numbers, but we shall see going forward as they're all lightly raced. They all have the potential to go one way or the other moving forward, but you would think Pleasant Passage is in a good spot now for Shug and company. 2-2 including a nice grade two stakes win yesterday, again, with the 78 buyer. I didn't mention Dancing Buck in the Belmont Turf Sprint. A solid 103 buyer figure for Dancing Buck. And finally, in New York, the Woodward. We were all looking forward to see what Life is Good could do in the scratch-reduced field of only four, and it was not a field of world beaters by any means. So Life is Good goes off at 5 cents to the dollar and has to work for it. Law professor comes up and kind of threatens momentarily. Now, the early fractions, 24-48, Irad Ortiz, the winning jockey, said after the race, you know, I was really happy and relaxed because I felt he was a little aggressive last time out, and so I was happy with it when he relaxed. And I think it was the Dave Greinke article I read said maybe he just got a little too relaxed. Irad said when the other horse came up to him, he got back in the bridle and re-engaged. Chart margin winds up to be 1.25. And again, he pays $2.10. The buyer was 97. That's after a 107 buyer win in the Whitney, a 112 in the Nehrud. And a lot of people, you know, you read Twitter, and a lot of people yesterday, well, this horse doesn't stand a chance against Flightline. I don't know. I mean, I'm probably leaning there too, but the horse won. The horse was in against, you know, a field that he was supposed to win. Irad said I had him relaxed. When the other horse came up, he engaged. I'm not sure how much you want to, you know, how much cash you want to take out of the tank heading into the Breeders' Cup Classic, particularly against a field of that, like that. You know, do you push him to win by 20? And I'm not saying he could have won by 20, but it's just, the point is, I don't think I'm as down on that performance as a lot of people were. We'll see what they elect to do going forward off of that, because again, it wasn't as eye-popping as maybe you would have expected given the field yesterday, but I thought it was a performance that was what it was. He was in against some overmatched horses, and he kind of toyed with them a little bit and pulled away in the stretch. The buyer of 97 doesn't jump off the page, as the triple digit certainly doesn't jump off the page compared to Flightline's last buyer. But I still think this is a very talented horse, and I wouldn't quite so quickly write him off. All right, now let's shift our attention. I mentioned earlier, looking forward to the recap here of this Lucas Classic and just see the stretch run again. I, you know, watched it in here live and then watched it last night a couple of times. And when you're talking about a horse race, this is what you can ask for. I liked Hot Rod Charlie. I put Hot Rod Charlie on top. I put, Rich Strike down in the fourth spot. I had it Hot Rod Charlie over Happy Saver, over Art Collector, over Rich Strike. Rich Strike here is going to be the number four horse, and you see him coming on the outside. Hot Rod Charlie's the number five. It looks here like Rich Strike is just going to float on by. Happy Saver's in the middle there and is getting bounced around a little bit. Rich Strike, it looks like going to float on by, and does, gets ahead by at least a neck, maybe half a length, and then Hot Rod Charlie fights back, and you can't tell here. And it winds up to be, the chart margin is what, ahead, with Hot Rod Charlie fighting back. And again, I said yesterday, I'm really intrigued to see what Rich Strike can do, because I was on that bandwagon after the Derby. This guy's, you know, the proverbial one-hit wonder. And that seemed to be validated in the Belmont. But then the Travers, he fires the 105 buyer in the Travers and, you know, runs an okay fourth that seemed to validate, no, this horse might be okay. Gets back to Churchill where he's 2 for 2 and puts on this performance. And, you know, again, all credit to Hot Rod Charlie. But this is a nice performance by Rich Strike that proves that he wasn't quite the fluke we thought he was, because he's stepping in against older yesterday for the first time. These are legitimate older horses, Happy Saver, Hot Rod Charlie, Art Collector, and he's right there. Now, all of that said, there was some buzz on Twitter, and I will read the chart as well. If he had won, he might have come down. There was some people speculating on Twitter that Sonny Leone had lost his iron on the inside. Maybe the saddle had slipped. And I looked at the, you know, when I read all that, I looked at the head-on. And when you look at the head-on, it does look like maybe he lost his balance, because at one point he's kind of leaning right on Tyler Gaffalione, who's next to him. And as they come under the wire, Tyler Gaffalione kind of looks back. From the articles that I've read, I didn't read anything referring to that from Gaffalione. I didn't read any comments by Sonny Leone. But the chart does say, boom, 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 Rich Strike shifted in and leaned on that rebidding foe, Hot Rod Charlie, nearing the wire. And as I say, if you look, he definitely comes in. There's a gap between the horses, and then kind of things kind of close up with both of them. So Happy Saver doesn't really have anywhere to go. And then Hot Rod Charlie keeps coming in. But then it does look almost like Sonny Leone loses his balance. And as I say, he is almost leaning on Tyler Gaffalione. So, again, if he had won, you look at that and you think, boy, if the saddle did slip or if he did lose an iron, maybe he wins the race and then there's not a problem. But given what happened, if he had won, the stewards certainly would have taken a look. And it was definitely, you know, they were in close quarters. And as I say, Sonny Leone is clearly not where he's supposed to be. So there, the upshot being to that, that was a very good performance, and maybe from Rich Strike could have been better. There was also some speculation on Twitter that it was Sonny Leone race riding. It definitely did look like lost the iron, maybe saddle slipped, or he just kind of lost his balance, because it was just a little too obvious and whatnot to be Sonny Leone trying to be clever or anything. So again, if you read and hopefully we'll get maybe Sonny Leone's comments, and maybe they've been out there. I haven't seen anything so far last night or today, the articles I read. All of that said, let me alert you that the buyer for Hot Rod Charlie yesterday was a 101 for Hot Rod Charlie. And Hot Rod Charlie, just, you know, a phenomenal four-year-old. The yesterday's purse puts him about $5.5 million over the career. Just, you know, absolutely a phenomenal runner. Won the Pennsylvania Derby last year as a three-year-old. Earlier this year, he won one of the preps over in Dubai for the Dubai World Cup. Wound up finishing second behind Country Grammar in that race. Subsequently ran second in the Salvatore Mile in that ding-dong battle with Mind Control. And then in the Whitney was third behind Life is Good and Happy Saver. But got it done yesterday in a very, very gutsy performance on the comeback in the stretch. But again, all credit also. It's just fun to see. You know, had Eric Reed on with us up in Saratoga Travers morning, and it was fun to talk to him. And he's realistic about his horse and, you know, feels there is talent there that will show. And it was fun to see them get the opportunity to show it yesterday. And that was part of what was out on Twitter also yesterday. A lot of people, I think, were like me. All right, I will readily admit Rich Strike has vindicated himself as more than just a fluke in the Kentucky Derby. So it's a fun race, you know, came down to that just the way you want it. Nice duel and whatnot. A little bit earlier on the card, the ACAC. I took a little bit of a shot against Speaker's Corner. I used Untreated. Neither one of them did anything. Speaker's Corner in the ACAC winds up seventh in the field of eight as the 7-5 favorite. He'll be the number one horse. Untreated, who I liked, is last in the field. But it's Senior Buscador getting it done, the number eight horse. Four trainer Todd Fincher had run third in the Pat O'Brien prior to that. This was a horse showed a little promise early in the career, winning that late season two-year-old race out at Remington that they run every year, the Springboard Mile. That was back in 2020. Hasn't quite lived up to that, but it's very lightly raced four-year-old. And the win yesterday may signal some good things going forward. I mentioned yesterday, good for Todd Fincher, because he trained a horse that a week and a half or so ago, won out at Albuquerque. The Albuquerque Handicap or whatever, but it was a stakes race. But the jockey violated the HISA rules on the number of strikes, and they got disqualified. I've been saying right along, that rule, I get the point, and I'm behind trying to make things safe and whatnot. But I just putting myself in the mind of a jockey to be riding in the middle of a race and know the count just seems like, boy, you're asking a lot there. And then when they go over the count and you not only get disqualified, the owner loses the purse and Todd Fincher, the trainer, loses his share of that. So it was a nice, not vindication necessarily, but it was a nice little win by Senior Buscador in the ACAC yesterday for a trainer who, again, earlier in the week maybe had some more unfortunate news given the current rules situation. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll look at some of the action yesterday from Santa Anita. And again, we're probably, I believe, about 15 minutes away from the upcoming, a little more than that, a little closer to 20 minutes away from the fifth race, the Prix de l'Opera, out at Longchamps, and we'll have that for you as we wind up the show today. So stay tuned. We'll come back more stakes recaps right after this.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Stone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Barbara. These two arch rivals head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. All right, let's work our way backwards out at Santa Anita stakes-wise. Yesterday on the show, we talked a little bit about the Unzip Me, Ellis Starr and I. We both like Brandon's My Lawyer. Didn't get much of a run there, running seventh in the field of nine. Got our price at 8-1 as the morning line held, but not much of a run there. But it was another horse that, you know, we looked at and talked about as being logical. Connie Swingle went off as the 6-5 favorite. And Connie Swingle gets it done. Chart margin winds up to be a neck. You get a nice late run from Pammy's Ready and Countess Rosina. So again, 6-5 over 20-1 over 13-1. Ellis had mentioned Pammy's Ready coming out of a couple of nice races at Del Mar. So again, the 6-5 over the 20-1. Got a $45 exacta in there. The Unzip Me, again, wound up the stakes action yesterday. 6.5 downhill at Santa Anita in an ungraded stakes race. Moving on to probably the highlight of the day, absolutely the highlight of the day out at Santa Anita, the Grade 1 Awesome Again, which, you know, this time of year and this type of field and whatnot, you think has Breeders' Cup Classic implications. That's the game plan. That's certainly what they're hoping for, but it seems like maybe, you know, reading the follow-up article in the Racing Forum, Bob Baffert maybe on the fence, at least, about his top two here. And Bob Baffert does run 1-2 in the Awesome Again yesterday. The favorite was Country Grammar, who won the Dubai World Cup this year. Country Grammar, the number four horse. It's number six defunded, though, getting it done. And you can see holds on here by a chart margin of a length and three quarters. Country Grammar second. Slow Down Andy runs third. Defunded went off at 5-1, and kind of deservedly so, off the past couple at Del Mar. Had run sixth in the Pat O'Brien and had run seventh in the San Diego. Pat O'Brien is kind of having an interesting follow-up to that. Senior Buscador ran third and wins the race over at Churchill, and Defunded runs sixth and wins the race at Santa Anita yesterday. Speaker's Corner doesn't do as well, but Defunded bounces back. Defunded had some nice wins earlier in the career and had shown some talent earlier in the career, but that Del Mar couple of starts. Now, that said, and as I alluded to, Bob Baffert was kind of, I don't know, about going on to the Breeders' Cup Classic. Kind of feels like maybe with the Dubai World Cup win and obviously, you know, shipping around the world, as it were, and coming back, maybe he's had a long campaign, kind of alluded to that. But on Defunded, he said, and, you know, you look at that, and as I say, you look at the career and what this horse has done, and then those two races at Del Mar, Bob Baffert said the horse just kind of unwound in the Del Mar paddock, and he felt like it might be the same situation at Keeneland for the Breeders' Cup. So, he was a little bit on the fence about both of his top two, whether or not they would head on to the Breeders' Cup after the 1-2 finish in the Awesome Again yesterday. Edwin Maldonado, the winning jockey, that was his first Grade 1 win, so congratulations to him. Not bad to get a Grade 1 in a race like the Awesome Again out in Southern California yesterday. And again, you think, you hope that those kind of races produce some runners that, oh, that had some excitement to the Breeders' Cup Classic. Not sure on this race whether that'll be the case or not. We'll have to see. Yeah, as I say, Bob Baffert was on the fence. It wasn't in the post-race articles I read. He wasn't making really a comment one way or the other, but it sounded like the thought process was, maybe we'll pick other spots. The Eddie D yesterday, they're on the downhill turf course again, going 6.5. I thought Air Force Red was a little bit interesting in here. Wound up fifth at 9-2. But what makes Sammy run? Joe Bravo on board at 18-1. Gets it done in here. The number 7 horse, number 1 Laneway, second. The favorite, Gregorian Chant, the number 4 at 2-1, runs third. Nobody challenging the winner here, though, at $38. What makes Sammy run? Gets it done. Was 2-for-2 on the Santa Anita turf course. Maybe you could have circled that and found something there. But so far this year, only a second place finish in 5 starts. So there wasn't a whole lot to hang your hat on coming in, justifying that price. I'm just looking second longest price on the board. But gets it done. Again, having shown an appreciation from the Santa Anita turf course, maybe that's it. Maybe this is, you know, the horse they will not have to put in the Webster's Dictionary under horse for a course, because 3-for-3 so far on the Santa Anita turf, but otherwise is struggling a little bit when sent to other venues. Let's move on now to the Santa Anita Sprint Championship. Talked a little bit about this one yesterday with Ellis Starr, and here's the one I had right. I thought there was going to be some speed to shoot at in here. I thought there were some horses who could go out and maybe set a little pace, and perhaps Howbeit could kind of stalk and pounce coming out of a situation like that where the horse was a close-up third, pouncing late at Del Mar in the prior start. Howbeit's the number 3 horse, and you can see here, stalks and pounces. Chart Margin is going to wind up a short nose, but it's 6-1 over CZ Rocket, the very talented throughout the career 8-year-old. And again, Howbeit played pretty much the way I thought. Sat fourth early, then third, and when we picked it up, you could see it was kind of coming and coming and coming. And as they came under the wire, it got very close there. That's one where you wait for the photo. Mike Smith on board, Howbeit, though, does wind up with the victory. And again, it's 6-1. CZ Rocket at 5-1. You wound up with a nice little exact in there of $46 for those two. Forbidden Kingdom wound up the favorite. And that horse was favored on the morning. I believe, favorite on the morning line. Let me just double. Yeah, 9-5 favorite on the morning line. And Ellis was a little bit against, and I was a little bit against in that this is a horse that hadn't faced older. This was a talented three-year-old, no doubt about it, for Dick Mandela. So not only stepping up against older for the first time, but hadn't been seen since the sixth-place finish in the Santa Anita Derby back in April. So a layoff moves in against older, and Forbidden Kingdom wound up fifth in the field of six. And again, as the favorite, that seemed like, a to say the least, a very vulnerable favorite. And a couple more from Santa Anita. Just quickly, we'll hit on the City of Hope Mile. It's going to be beyond brilliant getting it done for John Sheriff's number three horse here. Goes off as the 4-5 favorite. Talented runner, 13 starts, 7 exacta finishes prior to this. Came out of the Eddie Reed, disappointing sixth as the favorite last time over at Del Mar, but rebounds nicely in here by 3/4 of a length. Kathkin Peak second, and Prince Obama runs third in there. But again, no shock in the City of Hope Mile. Brilliant, beyond brilliant, the 4-5 choice, and gets it done. And finally, kicking off the stakes action yesterday at Santa Anita was the John Henry Turf Championship, Grade 2 event, 1.25 miles on the turf. And it will be Master of Foxhounds getting it done under Umberto Rispoli. This is a ding-dong finish. Master of Foxhounds is the number 4 in the lead. Looks pretty, if you're sitting here with a ticket on him, you're thinking, oh, okay. And then now you're thinking, oh, well, wait a minute. It will be Dicey Mochera second and Gold Phoenix third. As they get close to the wire, I think you still have a little bit of confidence, but chart margin's a neck and a head. So it got close there at the end. But as I say, there was some strides early on, about the eighth ball, where you felt like, hey, this is pretty good. I got a winning ticket. And then there was a moment where you thought, eh, I'm not so sure. But again, as they got close to the wire, you kind of felt I'm going to hold them off, and did, as Master of Foxhounds gets it done. Second choice at 2-1 in there, getting it done at Santa Anita. Again, their opening weekend of this fall meet, and a nice slate of stakes on the schedule, as there were at Belmont at Aqueduct, and as there were with a couple of nice stakes at Churchill as well. It was a really, really nice stakes afternoon across the country, as noted. Some more of those coming up today, and we will look at those as we come back in, you know, a little over an hour and a half or so for OTB Live on a Sunday afternoon. I'm going to wrap it up early because we're going to go to Longchamp for the Prix de l'Opera, and you know, once they race that and whatnot, there'll only be a couple minutes left, so no sense really me jumping back in, other than I will now lead into the Prix de l'Opera and give you some thoughts there, which is 1.25 miles on the turf, over $500,000 up for grabs in the purse. And again, this is one of the nice races year in and year out on this ARC card as well. It looks like we're about 5 minutes away from this one. Just let me make sure there aren't any scratches. A field of 16 in here. Insinuendo, if I'm going to play around and if I'm looking for a little bit of a price to play around with in here, the number 3 horse, Insinuendo, at 38-1. Comes in so far this year with 3 starts, no wins, but 3 seconds. The last two, decent little runs over at the Curragh in Ireland. This horse to me is a little bit intriguing if you're looking, as they say, to play around a little bit with a price. Insinuendo, the number 3. But otherwise, above the curve, a daughter of American Pharoah, trained by Joe O'Brien, ridden by Ryan Moore, the number 12 horse. We are looking at 9-2 currently, so above the curve is interesting. Nashua, the number 7, I would expect, yeah, is the overwhelming favorite. Boy, in this field, 3-2 looks a little short, but we are looking at 3-2 on the John Gosden-trained Nashua, the number 7 horse. Five starts this year, 4 wins, including a Group 1 Nashua Stakes at Glorious Goodwood this summer. So logical is a horse taking some action. But as I say, interesting field to wind up with a 3-2 choice. I might play around with those a little bit. Maybe throw the one in too. Christophe Soumian is on board. Ibera, if I'm pronouncing that anywhere near correctly. I think this one is perhaps a little bit intriguing as a price as well at 12-1. So 1, 3, 7, and 12 for me. I'll box those up. 1, 3, 7, and 12. The nine's taking a little bit of action as well. La Parisienne comes in off some good tries most recently, including a nice really near miss last time right here at Longchamps. So I get it, the nine getting some action, probably deservedly so. We will see how it works out. They're circling around behind the gate. So I will wrap it up for Racing Across America. Again, one of those mornings where it's racing across the globe. We'll send it back to France and Longchamps. And we'll invite you down here this afternoon. You can watch the rest of this card from Longchamps. Some more stakes on the card. We have football already going because there's a game from Europe with the Vikings and the Saints. So keep that in mind if you'd like to come down. We are open currently at the Racebook. But come down and you can watch racing and NFL football all day long here at the Clubhouse Racebook. So we'd love to have you down. If you're not going to come down, stay tuned to the network. As I say, I'll be back in about an hour and a half or so for a Sunday afternoon OTB Live. So thanks for tuning in this morning. We'll see you in a few.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.